It seems surprising to me as a guide dog owner that in the 21st century we are still having difficulties with guide dogs and guide dog owners being refused access to taxis, minicabs, services like shops, restaurants, hotels. So why is that, and what can we do about it with the help of some of the UK's leading charities? Well, we have with us Sarah Schoenberger from Guide Dogs to talk a little bit more about that particular subject. Sarah, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me here.
It is a bit annoying and frustrating, and for me as a guide dog owner that we're still having these problems is really strange, but that, you know, it's not unique. Have guide dogs seen an increase in these problems?
Yes, as you say, it still happens very often. In a survey that we carried out, we found that 42% of assistance dog owners reported that they've been refused from a taxi and a minicab specifically. And in general, 3 out of 4 guide dog owners said that they had been refused to a service, like a shop, a restaurant, a taxi. So it is really shocking that, as you say, that this is still happening today. And also that people don't realize the important role that a guide dog or an assistance dog plays in the life of its owner, and that it's not just a pet dog.
Absolutely, and you know, there has been a lot over the years in the media about this. You know, legislation is there as well to protect assistance dog owners from this kind of refusal. So are there any particular reasons that you can say, well, we know why this happens?
Yeah, as you say, it's illegal. The legislation exists. Well, we found that quite often the people who are refusing guide dogs, they are not really aware of the legislation and of their obligations. So that's also why we are campaigning for disability equality training, specifically for taxi and minicab drivers, because we found that's the biggest problem. Because we've seen that places that have introduced disability equality training for drivers had very positive results with fewer refusals happening. And also the drivers themselves said they found the training really helpful, and it made them understand more of the important role the dog plays and also about the significant impact access refusal can have. Because as you say, it's annoying, but it's also very frustrating and has a very big emotional impact. And also, like, you miss important appointments and miss out on opportunities, and it can lead to a lack in or decrease in confidence and independence. And in the end, the guide dog is really there to give a person more independence. And if that's taken away by a refusal, that's really shocking.
I've had guide dogs since 2001, and probably only twice in that time so far, touch wood, I've actually faced a refusal, and one of those was from a taxi. And it does make you, as an owner, it makes you angry, but also makes you feel quite embarrassed as well, and you think, you know, am I getting the independence I should be getting? You know, these barriers are being put up. It's a bit of a mixture of emotions.
Yes, absolutely. That's what we've heard from other guide dog owners recording as well. And very sadly, for a lot of them, that then means that they are trying to avoid the situation because they don't want to be put into a situation where they have to feel those emotions, which is understandable. But then, unfortunately, that means that very often they can't really go out and about independently and can't do the things that they want to do. And that's unacceptable. And so that's why we're really campaigning on this issue to change it and to make people aware of the law and make them follow their legal obligation.
There is an exemption to this if the driver has an allergy, a medical condition, but they have to have proof of that. Is that correct?
Yes, that's absolutely true. Because, of course, if a driver has a medical condition that worsened by dogs, for example, an allergy, then you wouldn't want to put them into a situation where they have to carry a dog. So if that's the case, they can apply for an exemption certificate at their local authority, and they have to display it, and then they are exempt from carrying an assistance dog. But if they don't have the exemption certificate, then they still have to carry assistance dog.
Okay. And you mentioned services as well, you know, things like shops and restaurants and hotels. That's probably quite another surprising one as well. You know, when you come across a lot of places, they have the stickers in the window saying assistance dogs are welcome. Is it because they have a high turnover of staff, or again, they just don't understand the law?
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of both. And again, probably often comes back to a lack of training. And, of course, if you have a high turnover of staff, then they might not have gotten to the training yet, or the training is not a priority, and it really should be.
I mean, it sounds quite simple that even if you have a high turnover of staff, they have to be trained when they start their job. So, you know, almost like disability awareness training as well, as you're calling for the taxi drivers, should really be across the service industry as a whole.
Absolutely. As we said before, it is illegal to refuse an assistance dog, and there's really no excuse for doing it. And a lack of knowledge is not an excuse. And therefore, we're urging services to address the problem and to properly train staff and make it a priority.
What should guide dog owners do then if they are facing a refusal?
We ask them to contact their local guide dog branch, and then we can discuss it further and talk about the context and circumstances and give advice on what the best way forward is.
And this could end up in court. You know, guide dog owners have in the past and could in the future take individuals or companies to court over this.
Yes, that's happening especially for taxis and minicabs. And we hear that it's very difficult, which is also one of the reasons that we're working with local authorities to make the reporting system easier, because quite often it can be very daunting and frustrating if you don't know who to talk to. And then also you have to have enough confidence to go through the process again and kind of relive the situation. And so, as guide dogs, we're working on making that process easier and also on increasing fines for taxi drivers, because those are too low at the moment.
Okay, so just finally, and if people would like to learn more about Guide Dogs, the charity, get involved, or indeed find out more about their entitlements under the law, where would they go to?
The best way would be to go to our website, that's www.guidedogs.org.uk, and you'll find a lot of information about our Access All Areas campaign on there. And also, if you are with us and think that this is absolutely unacceptable and you want to help us campaign to introduce disability equality training for every taxi and minicab driver, it would be absolutely great if you could sign our petition. And you can find that again on our website on the www.guidedogs.org.uk/petition.
Sarah Schoenberger, thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.